This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey you! Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Our next guest, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, is your surname pronounced Korst?
Yes.
There we go. Thank you. Joe is Associate Professor, School of Culture and Communication at Melbourne Uni. We want to talk about the boycott of a particular, of a festival, and in particular a part of a festival funded by the Israeli Embassy. And my co-host this morning, Joe, is entertainer, writer, actor, Michael Veitch.
Very good at pool tiling as well. Hello, Joe.
Yeah.
G'day, Michael.
So, Joe, give us a little snapshot of what the boycott is about, just so our listeners who perhaps aren't across it know what it's about.
Well, the Sydney Festival accepted a sponsorship deal with the Israeli Embassy in Canberra of $20,000 to fund the involvement of the Israeli choreographer Ohar Naharan in the Sydney Dance Company's production of Decadence that is part of the Sydney Festival, as well as running a seminar that was associated with the production. $20,000 in the scheme of things is a very small amount of money, given that it probably represents about 0.1% of the Sydney Festival funding. So it's not a significant amount, but it has caused a reaction from the Palestinian organisation called Boycott, Divestments and Sanctions Movement. And they have demanded that the Sydney Festival remove itself from the partnership, the funding partnership. Interestingly, Naharan himself is a supporter of that movement. So there's lots of issues there. The protest has resulted in more than 30 performers and organisations withdrawing from the Sydney Festival, although they may still be performing. They're removing themselves from the branding of the festival.
Joe, is there any connection between Israel and this particular production? Does it espouse their views or their aims or anything?
I don't think so. I haven't seen it because I'm not living in Sydney. But as I said, Naharan is well known for having progressive views about Sydney, about Israel and Palestine, not dissimilar to the kind of actions that Daniel Barenboim and Edward Said have when they founded the West Eastern Divan Orchestra in 1999. So a lot of artists in Israel and in the Palestinian territories and in other Arab countries have tried and worked hard to work cross-culturally and come together to do arts practice in a way that ignores the differences that are constantly promoted between them.
One of the things that I'm sort of challenged a bit by here is we're talking, okay, so the Israeli Embassy has given $20,000 to the Sydney Festival, and the Sydney Festival is being boycotted on a particular for that, when the actual show or exhibition that's happening is probably somewhat at odds with Israeli government policy, which I find that sort of, so the embassy's given money, the exhibition, the performance is somewhat at odds with Israeli government policy. The other thing I find really interesting here, Joe, is There's been some resignations from the board of the Sydney Festival, but the board or the chair, he said recently, and this as chair of an organisation myself, as chair of Joy, he said, well, we actually didn't know that this funding had happened until we saw the program. So when the program was printed, he opened it up and he saw, oh, look at that, the Israeli embassy has funded this. I didn't know this. How does, you know, that the board, okay, it's probably a board of governance, not management, but so the management of the Sydney Festival have accepted this money, not thought this might, just by its nature, be perhaps controversial, or let's have a closer look at this, but not told the board. Now, if that happened in this organisation, there'd be a different reaction. So, I mean, did you find that sort of, I don't find it amusing or puzzling, I'm like, it's a WTF moment.
Well, I think the director of the festival has probably been thrown under the bus a bit, because the chair of the board said that it was her initiative that she went to the Israeli embassy and asked them for the funding. And I think the funding was primarily for this seminar that they were going to have, but in fact has been cancelled because of COVID. So the bizarre thing is that the money that what it was going to be used for hasn't actually happened. But yes, I think that it seems odd that the board wouldn't have seen who all of the sponsors and funders were before the program was printed. And, you know, if they didn't, it's unusual.
Can the festival simply not hand the money back and that would be the end of it?
Well, I think they could have, but they seem to be, last week they were digging in, this week they seem to have changed their response. And in fact, as I said, what the money was mostly to be used for hasn't actually happened. And in the scheme of things, the amount of money was trivial.
Yes, but, absolutely. I'm actually quite shocked that it was such a small amount of money. I mean, as you say, $20,000 will pay the kind of, you know, the weekend overtime staff for the festival, basically.
Yes. Well, at the most 0.1% of its budget, so it's a massively small amount of money. I don't know if you can put massive and small together, but anyway. It's a curious thing, but, you know, arts and politics are very interconnected. And when people say they're not, it's somewhat naive. And I think that probably the festival director may have just been not thinking, through. But there are so many contradictions embedded here, as you say. So given the dance piece, given the choreographer's own political stance, and given, we don't know what was going to happen in the seminar, but it's all rather confusing, I think. And it's interesting. I mean, the Israeli embassy says that, you know, the arts should be not about politics, but of course they constantly have used the arts as a form of soft diplomacy and promotion of their own views. And many agencies have done that. And we know the American Central Intelligence Agency did it extensively during the Cold War. So, you know, it's always evident.
And, of course, at the moment, arts agencies are bleeding all over the country. They're probably desperate to get any kind of attention, any kind of funding that they can, large or massively small, as you say.
And, you know, if people, you know, a lot of people have expressed a lot of concern and agitation about this. If they're concerned about the influence of politics on art, I haven't heard them as loudly protesting about Stuart Roberts cancel or not approving some funding recently, in the university sector, but, you know, in terms of literary research. So I think, you know, I understand why people are upset about this.
Is there a little bit of sort of what they call cancel culture coming into all this? Like, you know, yes, of course, the Israeli embassy is very controversial, but is it a lightning rod for people simply to express their differing opinions over this matter?
Well, I think probably, if you're asking me, that the BDS movement is well organised and has undertaken several campaigns. So I think that they have, you know, spearheaded this response and communicated with lots of artists about their views, putting people under a lot of pressure. I mean, Michael, as you're saying, the censoring of research activity at the universities is of a much larger scale. The other irony is that recently there in Adelaide, the AusAsia Festival came under fire because they said that a local Hong Kong arts group weren't able to put up their umbrellas because of its link to the pro-democracy movement and their receipt of funding from the Australia-China Foundation. So then the federal government actually came in and said that, you know, censorship and political involvement in the arts was unacceptable, which is really curious.
Unless they did it.
Yes. So it's really very curious. That it depends on which side of the board you're on.
Yeah. Joe, look, unfortunately we're out of time. Look, I really thank you for the discussion and, you know, for explaining to us for our listeners what this was about. A really challenging issue, but at the end of the day, I think arts and politics, I'd like to say they don't mix. They often do. But unfortunately, usually the people who say most stridently that they don't are the ones that ensure that they do. Thanks for your time. And
Thank you so much.
You know, I appreciate you giving your time.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.